Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oh, welcome back. It is time for our visiting critic, because it is Friday after all. This is the part of the show where, of course, we cajole someone into telling us all their hates and fears and ask them to come face and face with them and do something they would never consider doing and then come in and review it for everybody listening. So this week's willing, uncomfortable explorer is author, podcaster and columnist Sophie White. Good morning, Sophie.
Hi, good morning.
Still talking to us anyway.
I've recovered from my ordeal, yes.
So when we contact our visiting critic, we always go, we need to get you to do something you wouldn't really consider doing. That was quite difficult for you.
I don't know. This is going to like sound like some kind of weird brag, but it's not. It's just that I don't know what kind of life I've led that has brought me down strange paths. I have done a lot of stuff that I think a lot of people would actually balk at. I've done a naked bike ride for charity. The bike was rented.
Oh, God.
I put something on the saddle, don't worry, guys.
Oh, fair play to you.
I've done a skydive, a shower cap. It was actually my own pair of knickers. Sorry, this is so early in the morning to be nauseating people. I've done a skydive.
You've done a skydive?
Yeah, like I just kind of, do you know what I am? I'm very suggestible. I would be an easy mark for a cult. Absolutely. No questions asked. I always think cults sound kind of relaxing. Like, I'm a mother of three kids under 11.
Oh,
like,
nice, yes,
I'm primed like to be brought into a cult and told what to do.
They run you.
That's what I hear, actually. There's usually a bit of hard labour involved. But when we were kind of chatting over ideas for this, I had just seen a fab belly dance kind of show put on in my local community centre at our street party. And I did have like a real like gut punch. Pardon the...
we'll pardon it.
Yeah.
You said no.
Of God, I couldn't do that now. And I was quite interested in my reaction in a way, because I was like, geez, like I have the same, I would say, a garden variety level of loathing for my body.
As Irish people,
like totally within the population, I think I'm reasonably in the normal range. And sadly, the normal range is terrible.
The test is like if you're changing at the beach.
Exactly. Do I like dislocate a shoulder under a towel for 45 minutes to get into my togs?
Yeah, yeah.
I will say now, I don't know, like women listening, if you've, squatted and roared a baby out of you in a room full of strangers, poor strangers. It does remove some of the, I suppose, well, your dignity's already like, it's not even on the floor, it's in the basement, like, you know. So I will be
all the inhibitions melt away.
I'm a quick whipper-offer.
But belly dancing. For an Irish audience, it's kind of like, it is what it says.
I mean, you're showcasing a part of you that you might usually... instinct is to hide.
You're putting focus on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah, and like I'm 40 now, and like my belly particularly has undergone a massive transformation since say your 20s. Like,
do you look at your belly often?
No, not really. Okay. But it kind of like, it grimaces back at me if I ever do, because I don't know, C-section girlies might relate. I had a C-section like 11 years ago, and it's given my belly, like it looks like an overbite. It's like, there's like a kind of a shelf situation caused by the scar. Now, not to put anybody off C-sections, obviously life-saving treatment. Go for it, guys.
Well,
but it kind of makes my belly look a bit like, do you know Bart Simpson?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's this, I could whip it out now. No. But
you actually, you did whip it out because you went to a belly dancing class. Where did you go, by the way, for the...
So I went to Ringsend Community Centre.
Oh, very good.
I went to a fabulous teacher called Alexandra. And
she really does belly dancing classes here?
Yeah. And like, so there was loads of gals in the class. There was about 10 of us. And they were brilliant. Like they'd all been doing it for a good while. And it was just really... I was going along and I was kind of nervous, and it was like the hottest day of the year. I'd opted for a very, very cheap pair of synthetic trousers to wear. So I was like sweating just entering the door of the community centre, and everyone, when I got there, I see I was a bit like, oh, everyone's just going to look fab. And I'm going to be kind of like lumbering around in my way. I'm not a good, you know, my brain doesn't communicate with my body very well, like at all. Like it takes me so long to get any kind of like, do this with your foot, do this with your hand.
Not a great dancer.
No, like I'm in choir, and every now and again, the teacher would be like, okay, we're going to kind of put a little like move to this song. So we're going to, and the move, guys, is literally like
it's a
sway to the right, sway to the left. I cannot do it. It's truly tragic.
Going the wrong direction.
Yeah. Even like when sometimes we do a bit of clapping in choir and I have to mime the clap because I will always be out of time. It's embarrassing. And also miming.
You are the late, late audience. That's you.
Miming clapping is actually harder than just clapping. It takes more brain power to just make your palms kind of just meet, but never make a
much
sound.
Worse.
Yeah, so I'm just so like.
What happens at a belly dancing class? Though? Do you have to produce your belly early on, or can you say, look, the belly's under there; it'll just do whatever you want.
Yeah, everyone can do whatever they want with the belly. There was some bellies and some sheathed bellies.
Oh, right. Okay.
Clothed bellies. So, but I have to say, I just got chatting to all the women, and like it was really nice hearing about what had brought all of them to this. And like, you know, for some, you know, it was kind of, they were rehabbing after like an accident, and, or, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Or a lot of like, I guess, and that's kind of really interesting because it's like taking kind of power back in your body and, you know, kind of, I suppose, even if your body can't do one thing after having, say, an accident, this might be something you can do.
I see.
Like, it's quite, it's low impact as dancing goes.
Yeah.
It's lovely, and like it's very fluid movement, but it's also, it feels like there's room for kind of, I suppose, people to be bad at it. You can just do
this
a bit of hips, you know.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like really strict choreography.
So it was a busy class, and they were all ages. And
And all of everyone, like, you know.
All belly types.
All belly types. And, you know, and I kind of, and you get a belt, like a jangly belt, that you put around your hips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, even just meeting that, I was like, I don't know, should I put it, like, where do I put this? Like, do I put it up above the shelf of the C-section's car? Do I put it, like, in the C-section's car's mouth, gagging the C-section? Or down on the hips? I faffed around with that for a bit. And then the music got going, and I did kind of lose the sort of self-consciousness, like, really quickly.
Did you?
I was quite
Despite now, you're now a human tambourine. That's what I'm kind of
exactly
envisaging.
Yes, yes.
But that adds the, and by the way, it's exclusively women? Are there male belly
There
dancers?
Wasn't in that class any, but I would say definitely it's open to like every gender expression there is, because it's a really lovely, like, welcoming kind of space, you know. And like back in the day, I used to do a bit of pole dancing.
Did you?
And I know, and this all is making up a picture of like, I don't know. Do I actually do any normal activities in my life?
You have to be really fit, don't you, to do pole dance?
Oh yeah, my God, it really. It's very strenuous. It's good. It's good fun. But it was when I was younger, and I was probably like, I had probably a bit. I was less self-conscious about like my body. My body's changed so much. Like as I'm kind of hitting, I know everyone's like hitting perimenopause, but it's not just a trend, guys. It's a real thing. And, you know, I think it my body and my attitude has changed so much that, like, I kind of, in a way, look back at pole dancing and I'm kind of amazed that I did it.
Yeah.
You know? But where I was going with that was that, like, there's a lot of male pole dancers.
Yes.
And, like, they're amazing to watch because they have a different style to the women in many ways, because, you know, they have sort of different strengths, as it were. I definitely would love to see some guys doing some belly dancing.
Were you good at pole dancing?
Was I good? No.
Because the dancing part isn't the most important. It's like getting yourself up on the pole and staying up there, isn't it?
The
core strength.
Well, there's so many different styles of pole dancing. Oh, right. And like some is very, like very sort of acrobatic, and then some is like vibes, you know?
Okay.
Just kind of shimmies.
Back to belly dancing.
Yeah.
What kind of music do they put on for belly dancing?
God, like kind of... you know, God, I suppose traditional belly dancing music.
Is
and so the sometimes the tempo was really
kind of,
fast.
Is what it is?
Yeah,
Middle
yeah.
Eastern folk.
Yeah, and sometimes the tempo is like really fast and you got to like get going.
Okay.
And then, so we kind of, I felt, got faster through the class. And she kind of built up the kind of steps that then ultimately connected together for like one sort of final dance.
Yeah.
And so that was really good because it definitely broke it down bite size wise, you know. And I have to say, like, there was a couple of women and, you know, they had like just cool outfits on and like, you know, belly tops. And like, I kind of was a bit like, oh yeah, I'd crack it out now, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well.
You didn't in the class.
I didn't quite, but I was there like going, I could get there. I think this would help me get there. Because it really like is a really nice celebration of a woman's body.
I was looking at clips of belly dance. It is, you could call it hip dancing too, isn't it?
Because very in
so,
the hips.
That's very much a part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And like lots of kind of, it's a really good workout. Like, because it really like is about, well, from my take anyway, and like anybody professional will probably know better. It's really like isolating muscle groups and like really kind of, it takes kind of concentration and then kind of like, yeah, it's almost like sometimes minute movements will kind of make the move look better. Very, and like down to the details of like, so like, are you a person who like never knows what to do with their hands in a picture?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I always feel like I'm kind of like crouched in the back of a picture, kind of like with my hands like claws, kind of going, you know, I never know what to do with them. And then when you hide them, it's like, well, what are you hiding? What are you doing? What are you doing back there? Where are the hands? And so
belly dancing has a solution?
It kind of has a hand move, because initially I was doing kind of a T-Rex, you know, and then trying to do the hips.
Do you not put your hands on your hips?
That's the belly dancing. Actually, we didn't put the hands on the hips at any point. They were like...
Well, there is a lot of kind of...
Yeah, they were kind of beautifully arranged.
Mystical hand movements.
Yeah, yeah. And there's kind of a way of holding your fingers that I learned that I was like, okay, it would be a bit much to do a belly dancing kind
of pose.
You
look like the Karate Kid at the very end of the film where he's standing on one leg.
Yeah. It'd be a bit much to incorporate it into my family photos, say. I was like, that's how dancers
unless you're
going
to do a horoscopes column, that would be the sort of the look.
Oh yeah, yeah, kind of like Mystic Meg vibes. Yeah. What would it be?
Maleficent.
Like, yeah. Second sight, Sophie.
What is your top belly dancing tip that you learned in your class?
I'd say prepare to get hot and sweaty.
Oh, right.
Be surprised. And
is the burn in your core or your legs, or where does it hurt afterwards?
Yeah, a fair bit in the legs and the core. Yeah. And what else would I say? I'd be like, okay, just leave your self-consciousness in your bag by the door. And don't look at it.
Are you more comfortable with your body now than before the class?
I think it's just like, it's like gaining another kind of take on your body. Like, you don't have to be, you don't have to look a certain way. There's all these people doing this really cool thing, and it's not about, you know, like looking perfect at all. You know, it's about like, it's celebration, you know? So I do think, like, in a way, like, I think I would definitely go back and do it again.
Oh,
I
right.
definitely
Brilliant.
Would. Because as well, I think it's quite a good one for people who are bad at dancing.
It's
a bit more accessible.
95% of the population now.
Yes.
I thought older women tell younger women, you'll get more comfortable with your body as you age. Don't be worried.
Don't be worried. Yeah. I don't know. Does that track though? Because if you look at like older women in the spotlight, you know, we're seeing a lot of pretty dramatic overhauls continuing on.
Fierce renovation.
Into the seventh decade, eighth decade. There's a lot of renovation. Yeah. They're getting
there's the odd exception here and there, isn't there?
Totally. And it's like, I actually wrote my column about this in the Sunday Independent a few weeks ago. I feel a sense of almost, it's like a pathetic level of delight if I see somebody who looks remotely their age.
I know. Helen Mirren comes to mind.
Yeah, like stunning.
A beautiful woman,
stunning
all her
woman.
Life.
Kate Winslet is doing a good line in looking like a beautiful, oh, see, that's the thing. They're all still incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
But I was watching, what brought it to my mind particularly was, I don't know if you saw the kind of press announcement for the new Practical Magic. Did you remember Practical Magic that had Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock?
Oh, right.
I mean, it had a chokehold over a certain generation of millennials who loved The Craft and loved Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
And Practical Magic, they're witches. Beautiful, beautiful witches. And a bit like Witches of Eastwick. But kind of updated.
Oh,
and it came out in the kind of, I think, 90s. And they're doing a reboot. And they released pictures of Nicole Kidman and Sandra Bullock. And I'm not hating on them, but like, they just looked AI levels.
They have the Michael Jackson face, the two of them. They're merging into each other, aren't they?
That's it. The thing is, there is a kind of a homogenous kind of look developing because they're all getting the same work by the same people. And like, again,
it
doesn't
look older, by the way, doesn't it? Nicole Kidman is not even 60.
That's what I think. It's kind of like, it's like youth, sure, but it's a bit like Timu youth or youth you got in the Aldi miscellaneous aisle. It's just a little off. But the thing is, I can't speak to their experience because being a woman in the public eye is just a horrible experience, I'd say, across the board. So like, look, they have to do whatever they want to do.
30 years of it.
Yeah, and everyone has a right to do their tweaks and whatever makes you feel good, for sure. But I did just feel a real sense of joy watching a new show on Netflix called The Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another good example, yeah.
Yeah, so this is a cast of like mid-50s. They are all 55, actually. I looked it up for the piece, except for Steve Carell, who's 62. And this is the new Tina Fey show.
Yeah.
And it's about three couples. And like, I just watched it and I was like, this is just kind of a breath of fresh air, and it really shouldn't be, you know, to have some 50-year-olds who look 50 and who are also acting 50. And are the
main characters in a thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's always something I kind of felt about the Real Housewives franchise.
Oh, right.
It, in many ways, it was kind of like letting us see older women in a way that we often don't in like film and TV.
As in women that age rarely cast in
anything.
Exactly,
yeah, yeah. And like, and here we're like centering the narratives of, no, they're not all older, but there is a big range of ages in Real Housewives.
They had a fair bit of scaffolding up now, the Real Housewives, didn't they?
Yeah, bit of that. And I don't know if they're really a kind of beacon of, you know, feminism. But like, equally, they're women doing like what they want to do.
Yeah,
and like, I'm here for women's rights, but I'm here for women's wrongs as well.
I remember we were speaking earlier in the week to Sinead Gibney of the Social Democrats, and she was talking about her experience with alcohol.
Mm.
And of course, you famously have written about your experiences with alcohol.
Mm.
How many years sober are you now?
I am recently turned 7.
Seven,
yeah.
Congratulations.
My sober birthday is at the end of April, and I cannot believe that I have gone 7 years without picking up a drink.
When you write about these things, I was surprised, particularly when you wrote about that year 5 was the hard one for you, whereas people would assume year 1 cravings and so on would be really, really difficult to get through. And once you're over that, you're over it.
Yeah, I think like you presume you're going to get incrementally better with each year. And like, obviously, it is famously said recovery is not linear. And so, yeah, year 5 was hard. I think obviously everyone's triggers are really different. Like, I find mine were like, you know, any kind of uncomfortable feeling, like I couldn't cope with it without just like, you know, burying it, like, and, you know, and drowning it in alcohol. And, you know, so year 5, it happened to be just kind of a stressful year. You know, I had a lot of worry about my family stuff and things like that. And I think it was the closest I'd come since I first first got sober, it was the closest I came to just caving and reaching the kind of screw it edge where, you know, and I actually bought a bottle of vodka and went so far as to buy it.
Oh my God.
And it's mad to, you know, I kind of feel like there's a section of maybe people listening who will understand this, but like I knew that this was, it's pure dangerous for addicts to like have, you know, their substance.
How
like
did you get through that moment?
Well, I mean,
you obviously leave the premises with a bottle of vodka.
The thing is as well, like all the logic in my head was like, just call your sponsor, mm-hmm. call any friends in the program, like do all the things. But at that moment, like it was crazy how actually rational it was. I was like, I don't want to be told not to do this. I need this. And, you know, like I don't want to swear, but, you know, I literally just was like, screw all of this. This is just what I need to get through this right now. And the thing is, like, you know, with alcoholism, it's such a lonely, isolating thing. Like a lot of people would often and understandably assume that things like social occasions might be very triggering. And for sure, they might be for some addicts. But like for me, you know, I think by the end of my alcoholism, my drinking had gotten so warped that it was actually, it was just more comfortable to do it on my own. It was such effort to pretend to be a normal drinker in front of other people.
Oh, right.
And so when I kind of, you know, have the sort of fantasy moment of like, I could just do it, drink again. Like, it's so hard sometimes, you know. And like, whenever I have that kind of moment, it's never about like enjoying a few G&Ts in the garden of a summer. The plan that presents in my head is literally just go and buy the alcohol I need and like check into a hotel and just be alone and kind of get it done, get what I need done. And, like, it's such a drive.
What
and
a
it's
description
so destructive.
Of pain that you portrayed. But yeah. Look, you had the strength to get past and that bottle of vodka didn't derail you.
Yeah, didn't get opened. I was with my kids. That's the other, like, such disturbing thing. Like, addiction can often, like, override, like, every other instinct for love, self-preservation, you know. I returned it and, yeah, I stepped back from the precipice. And I think that was the worst, in a way, of many years. And yeah, it's obviously, it's really, you know, I always feel very like, this feels radioactive to say out loud, you know, particularly when it comes to like, you know, being a mother. And I have received like so much judgment over the years in writing about this and writing about it in the context of being a mother. But I kind of have to, I feel it's more important to just say these things in case there's some other mother who like loves her kids more than herself, more than the world, you know, but is in the grips of something that really, really is like a possession, takes you over and it'll take everything good from you. And, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, I was told early on in recovery, like when you kind of come up against those kind of feelings, to play the tape forward and follow it to its conclusion. Like, if you have that drink, where is it going? Like, it's not going to a fun place, you know, for an addict, you know. I think sometimes the conception or preconception can be like that, you know, that this is fun and people are doing this out of selfishness and a pursuit of
not
fun.
At all. It's illness.
It's when illness. It gets to this point, it's just often it's a survival mechanism for people. That's the other thing. There's such a kind of there's a social structure underpinning addiction that it really, like, we need to do so much more work with. Like,
and that's precisely what Sinead Gibney was talking about, and
exactly,
alcohol labels
yeah.
and so on.
And
are
like,
so
it was
important.
Amazing to hear her speaking about it, especially somebody in her
incredible,
position.
Yeah, incredible pain. But thanks so much for sharing that with us, Sophie White. I should say to people, if they need support on this, rt.ie/helplines has loads of places to go to assist. Thanks for being the visiting critic as well.
My pleasure.
Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you. You
Thanks, too. Sophie White.
Email oliver@rte.ie.